Imagine checking your company's perfectly optimized website traffic one morning and seeing it just drop off an absolute cliff.
Right.
And not because your SEO failed or, you have a broken link or a slow server, but because your potential customers simply, they just stopped using search engines entirely.
Yeah, that's the nightmare scenario right there.
Exactly. They're no longer typing those fragmented keywords into a search bar. Instead, they're having full-blown conversations with AI chatbots asking for like really highly specific recommendations.
Oh, absolutely.
And in those conversations, your perfectly optimized brand, the one you've spent, what, a decade building, it's completely nowhere to be found.
It's just gone.
Right. So welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are looking at something that is fundamentally rewiring how businesses connect with you, the consumer.
I mean, the paradigm has entirely shifted underneath our feet. It's wild. Businesses are suddenly waking up to the reality that AI visibility is critical to their survival. But the terrifying part is that the vast majority of them are flying completely blind. I mean, they are operating in the dark with absolutely no idea if these new AI platforms are, recommending their products or actively ignoring them.
Or worse.
Exactly. Or even worse, confidently misrepresenting everything they do to a highly motivated buyer.
Which is exactly why today's source material is, well, it's the lifeline so many businesses are looking for right now. We're digging into the Comprehensive Guide to AI Visibility Auditing.
A really fantastic piece of work.
Yeah, it's a fascinating blueprint put together by the team at Sycac Studios. Our mission for you today is to shortcut your learning curve on what the industry is calling GEO. Right, so generative engine optimization.
Yep, GEO is the new SEO.
We are going to map out exactly how to audit, measure, and ultimately fix how artificial intelligence perceives your brand. So, okay, let's unpack this because the best way I can conceptualize the magnitude of this shift is by looking at how we used to do things.
Right, let's look back.
Traditional SEO is a lot like paying for a massive ad in the Yellow Pages. I mean, it is necessary, but it relies on a customer specifically deciding to open that heavy book and scroll down to your exact category.
Yes, very passive.
Exactly. AI visibility is entirely different. It's like having the most popular, trusted person in your town actively pulling a friend aside and saying, "I know exactly what you need. Go talk to this specific company."
That is a brilliant way to put it. The transition from a static directory to a dynamic conversation, I mean, it changes all the rules of engagement.
Yeah, it really does.
Because when a system provides a contextual, synthesized answer rather than just a list of blue links, the old metrics become entirely obsolete.
They just don't work anymore.
Exactly. If a marketing team tries to measure their success in an AI landscape using traditional SEO yardsticks like, site crawlability or the raw number of backlinks pointing to their homepage, they're essentially trying to measure the temperature of a room using a ruler.
I love that. Measuring temperature with a ruler.
Yeah, the underlying mechanics of how information is surfaced have completely changed.
And that invalidates almost everything a standard marketing dashboard tracks today.
Pretty much, yeah.
So if we aren't just celebrating clawing our way to page one of Google anymore, what are we supposed to be counting? Like, are we just crossing our fingers and hoping a chatbot happens to spit out our company name in some generated
Well,
paragraph?
that passive approach is the absolute quickest way to lose market share.
Right.
Skycopic Studios outlines five core metrics that completely redefine what visibility means when you're dealing with a generative engine.
Okay, lay them on me.
So the first is citation count. And this is the absolute baseline measurement. It basically tracks the raw total number of times your brand, your specific products, or your website content is explicitly cited in an AI's response.
Okay, so just counting the mentions.
Exactly. But stopping there is a massive mistake.
I figured.
Yeah. The second metric is share of voice, which actually contextualizes that raw data. This looks at the percentage of mentions your brand receives compared directly to a set of your competitors across, a variety of answers.
Oh, wow. Okay. So it prevents that false sense of security because you might run a prompt, see your brand mentioned five times, and just pat yourself on the back.
Yes, you think you're doing great.
But that celebration stops the second you realize your main competitor was mentioned like 50 times in those exact same conversational pathways.
Precisely. You have to understand your slice of the pie.
Yeah.
And the guide provides a really highly actionable formula for calculating this.
Oh, nice. I always appreciate a hard number. How does the math work?
It's simple, really. You take your brand mentions, divide that by the total prompt responses tested, and multiply by 100.
Okay, let me make sure I've got this.
Yeah, so using the sources example, if you test 50 different prompt responses
Right.
and your brand appears in 15 of them, your share of voice is 30%. It transforms this sort of vague feeling of visibility into a hard, trackable number.
That makes total sense. But, I mean, just because an AI is talking about you doesn't mean it's saying something you actually want the customer to hear, right?
Oh, absolutely not. Which brings us to the third metric, sentiment.
Sentiment, okay.
You have to rigorously evaluate the overall tone the AI uses when your brand comes up. Is the framing positive, neutral, or negative?
Because if it's saying, don't buy this, that's a citation, but it's a terrible one.
Exactly. Then the fourth metric is prompt coverage. This measures the percentage of relevant prompts where your brand surfaces at all.
Wait, how is that different from share of voice?
So if a user has 100 different natural language ways of asking for the solution your product provides, how many of those unique queries actually lead to your doorstep? It's about the breadth of your visibility.
Oh, I see. It's about casting a wide net.
Yes. And finally, the fifth metric is recommendation rank. When the AI inevitably generates a bulleted list of top options for the user, where do you sit?
Oh, like are you number one or number 10?
Right, because being the first bullet point carries vastly different psychological weight than being buried at number 5 with a caveat attached to your name.
Yeah, nobody reads to bullet point 5. And this matters so much for you listening right now, whether you run a startup or manage a massive enterprise, because, well, you simply cannot improve what you cannot measure.
Very true.
If you have no baseline for your share of voice or your sentiment, you are just throwing content into the void. But knowing these 5 metrics is completely useless if you measure them in the wrong environment.
Oh, this is where so many people get it wrong.
Right. I've talked to so many business owners who just, you know, they open up ChatGPT on their phone, type their own company name in, read a glowing paragraph, and consider their entire AI strategy handled.
And that single platform approach is a colossal vulnerability. I mean, it represents a fundamental misunderstanding of how fragmented the generative landscape really is right now.
So we need to be looking everywhere.
Well, the Scopic Studios guide stresses that a comprehensive audit has to include 4 core platforms.
Yeah.
They are built on wildly different back-end architectures.
I mean, they think differently.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which means they process data differently, and they will give the user completely different recommendations.
Okay, what are the core 4?
First, you have ChatGPT, which relies heavily on its massive pre-trained knowledge base, supplemented by, you know, some web retrieval.
Right.
Then you have Perplexity, which operates on a completely different philosophy. It acts almost like an AI research assistant, relying heavily on live, real-time web retrieval and prioritizing explicitly cited sources.
Okay, so that's 2.
Then there is Gemini, which blends AI-generated synthesis with Google's massive real-time search and ecosystem data.
Yeah.
And finally, Google AI Overviews. Those are the summaries you see at the top of a traditional Google search. And those are generated by pulling strictly from highly authoritative web pages with deeply grounded citations.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. When you lay those 4 platforms out, they remind me of 4 distinctly different types of researchers you might hire for a project.
Oh, I like that analogy. Go on.
So ChatGPT is the researcher who locked themselves in a massive library for 5 years and read every single book. They're incredibly articulate, but their knowledge might be a little dated depending on when they last read a book.
Right, the training data cutoff.
Exactly. Then Perplexity is the obsessive investigative journalist. They are constantly checking live news feeds and demanding to see the direct source for every single claim.
Show me the receipts.
Yes. And Gemini is like tapping into the global hive mind, seeing what the entire world is actively searching for and connecting it to real-time data.
Very true.
And then Google AI Overviews is like the stripped academic who refuses to read absolutely anything except the most heavily peer-reviewed authoritative textbooks.
That is spot on.
Yeah.
And what's fascinating here is how those different researcher personalities, as you call them, fracture your brand's reality.
What do you mean?
Well, because they value different inputs, your visibility will wildly fluctuate between them. You might look like an industry titan on ChatGPT because you had a massive, highly publicized product launch 3 years ago, right when its core training data was being compiled.
Oh, but you might be completely invisible today somewhere else.
Exactly. You might be a ghost on Perplexity today because your team hasn't published any new, highly citable content on the live web in the last 6 months.
That is wild to think about.
So you have to manually audit across all of them to see the full picture. The source actually notes that a proper baseline audit, which is running about 10 to 15 prompts across three or four of these platforms typically takes a human about 2 to 4 hours of focused work.
Okay, so 2 to 4 hours. But knowing those four platforms exist doesn't mean much if you don't know what to actually type into the search bar to test them.
True.
If we are setting up this audit, what are the actual inputs? Are we just typing our company name in like a dozen different ways?
Well, that is the most common starting point, right?
Okay.
But it only shows you half the picture. The methodology requires defining a very specific scope of about 20 to 50 carefully selected prompts. And these must be divided into two distinct buckets, branded queries and unbranded queries.
Let's break those down.
So branded queries are the ones that explicitly include your specific company name, your proprietary product names, or even your key executives.
Got it.
The guide uses a shoe company to illustrate this. A branded prompt would be, is brand name a good shoe company? Or what are the most durable shoes from brand name?
So you are basically asking the AI to pull up your specific file and read it back to you.
Precisely. You are checking to see if the AI understands your basic identity. But, and this is key, the unbranded queries are where the actual competitive intelligence lives.
Why is that?
Because these prompts focus entirely on broad categories and customer pain points. For that same shoe company, an unbranded prompt would be, what are the best shoes for marathon training? Or, which running shoe brands offer the best arch support?
Oh, the user isn't asking about you. They're asking the AI to solve a problem.
Exactly.
And this right here, for me, this was the major aha moment of the entire methodology.
Oh, yeah.
Because a company could have a marketing team throwing a massive party because their branded queries look fantastic. Like when asked directly, the AI praises them.
Right. They feel great about it.
But if that same company has zero visibility on unbranded queries, they have a massive gaping hole in their sales funnel.
Huge.
If a customer is training for a marathon and doesn't already know your shoe brand exists, the AI is never going to introduce you to them. Your competitors are just quietly stealing all of your potential new customers right inside the chat window, and you wouldn't even know it.
That is the harsh reality. Unbranded queries expose your true market position within the AI's internal logic.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why the Scopic Guide insists that you must identify 3 to 5 direct competitors to benchmark against.
Okay, so competitors that look just like us.
Yeah, you need companies targeting the exact same demographic and solving the exact same problems. You run those 20 to 50 prompts to see who's actually winning the recommendation war when the customer doesn't specify a brand.
Wait, hold on a second. Let's do the math on this.
Okay.
50 prompts across 4 different platforms. And I've read that AI will change its answer based on your chat history. So do I have to do this in a fresh incognito window every single time so the AI doesn't remember me?
Yes, you do.
That sounds like an absolute nightmare for a small business marketing team. How are they supposed to actually pull that off without abandoning their day jobs?
I won't lie, it is an incredibly tedious manual process,
mm-hmm.
which is why most companies avoid it and remain in the dark.
Yeah, I can see why they'd skip it.
But the guide emphasizes that you absolutely must use fresh sessions. If you ask a chatbot 10 questions about your own brand in the same window, the system's personalization algorithms kick in.
It learns what you want to hear.
Exactly. It assumes you are a massive fan of this brand and starts tailoring its future answers to please you. You lose all objectivity.
Wow.
So yes, closing the window, opening a fresh session, and meticulously tracking the outputs in a spreadsheet is the cost of entry for a manual audit. But the cost of doing nothing is far, far worse.
Okay, so let's talk about the nightmare scenario you might uncover in that spreadsheet. You do the work, you run the fresh sessions, and you discover the AI is confidently telling users something completely false about your brand.
Oh, hallucinations.
Yes. I've seen chatbots invent completely fake features for software products or tell users a business is permanently closed when it isn't.
AI hallucinations are one of the most severe reputation risks in the generative search era. Fact-checking your outputs is non-negotiable because these systems will hallucinate and they'll present those hallucinations with absolute unwavering authority.
They don't sound unsure at all.
Not even a little bit. The guide points out common errors. They invent wrong pricing tiers. They heavily promote products you discontinued 5 years ago. Or they even misattribute controversial quotes to your leadership team.
That's insane. And the user reading that response has no reason to doubt it. They aren't going to cross-reference the AI's pricing chart with your actual website. They just see that your product is supposedly twice as expensive as the competitors, and they immediately move on.
Exactly. Those errors actively shape customer perception. and they persist until you forcefully correct the underlying data the AI relies on.
So how do we do that?
This brings us to the actual fix, LLM optimization. To correct an AI, you cannot just email customer support at OpenAI and ask them to fix it.
Right, there's no manager to speak to.
No, not at all. You have to strengthen your brand's authoritative signals out on the open web. An AI is only as smart as the data it scrapes. So you fix the output by fundamentally fixing the input.
Okay, but how do we actually do that? What does an authoritative signal look like in practice?
Well, it starts with your own infrastructure. You update your website to be unambiguously clear. You implement something called schema markup.
Schema markup. What is that in plain English?
Think of schema markup like a behind-the-scenes translation layer on your website's code. It basically spoon-feeds hard facts to AI bots. Here is the exact price. Here is the author of this article. Here is the aggregated customer rating.
Oh, so the AI doesn't have to guess or try to read between the lines of your marketing copy?
Precisely. But beyond your own site, you have to actively manage external signals. The guide strongly recommends managing review platforms and maintaining an active, transparent presence on discussion forums like Reddit.
Wait, really? Reddit? That seems incredibly specific when we're talking about advanced artificial intelligence.
It does, but it makes sense because large language models are heavily trained to value conversational, human-verified consensus.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, a corporate landing page claiming our product is the fastest on the market is recognized as biased marketing material.
Uh-huh.
But 100 different people in a niche Reddit forum organically agreeing that your product is the fastest.
That carries weight.
Huge weight.
Yeah.
To an AI system, that represents human ground truth. It weighs those community discussions heavily when deciding what is actually true about your brand today.
That makes total sense. You have to feed the machine the right raw materials where it actually looks for them.
Exactly.
But fixing factual errors is only part of the battle, right? We also have to look at the nuance of how an AI talks about you. It is entirely about how the AI frames you within the narrative of its response.
Framing is everything.
Yeah, it's the difference between an AI calling your product the cheapest option versus calling it the most cost-effective solution.
Oh, absolutely.
It is the exact same underlying fact. You have a low price point, but those two phrases create completely different psychological anchors for the customer.
Because framing dictates the entire buying decision. You cannot just celebrate a citation. You have to read the surrounding context.
So what are we looking for?
Scopic Studios advises auditing the paragraphs immediately before and after your brand name appears. Are you framed as the visionary industry leader pushing boundaries? Or are you framed as a quirky, budget-friendly alternative?
Both are fine, depending on your brand.
Right. But you need to know which one the AI chose. You need to document repeating qualifiers. If an AI consistently follows your name with the phrase best for early stage startups or a solid budget choice, that reveals the underlying narrative the AI has learned to attach to your brand based on millions of data points.
So what does this all mean? If I am a business owner and I have dedicated the hours to follow this guide, I now have a massive, intimidating spreadsheet.
Yes, you do.
I have the 5 core metrics, data from 4 different AI platforms, results from branded and unbranded queries, benchmark data against my top competitors, sentiment analysis, and a list of repeating narrative qualifiers. How do you turn that mountain of data into a strategy without entirely paralyzing a marketing team?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, you need a strict triage plan. You cannot fix every metric on every platform simultaneously.
Okay, good. Where do we start?
The guide suggests a very clear prioritization framework. High priority is always fixing factual inaccuracies.
Right. Stop the bleeding.
Yes. If the AI is hallucinating wrong prices or saying you offer a service you fundamentally don't, that harms your reputation and your revenue today. You update your schema markup and fix the authoritative signals for those core facts first.
And then?
Medium priority is addressing a low share of voice on unbranded queries in your most profitable categories. If potential customers are asking for the best solution in your specific industry and you aren't appearing, you need to start creating the structured, citable content that directly answers those broad questions.
Okay, that makes sense for growth.
And finally, your long-term priority is trying to shift that overall sentiment and brand positioning. Changing a deeply ingrained AI narrative from cheap to cost-effective requires a sustained content strategy over many months.
So this is an ongoing operational shift, not just like a one-time weekend project.
Oh, the landscape is evolving way too fast for a one-time fix. Scopic suggests that a strong baseline is running this full audit quarterly.
Every 3 months?
Yeah. The models are constantly being updated, and new competitors are entering the space. While manual audits are great for understanding the mechanics, there are specialized automated tools emerging to handle the heavy lifting.
Which is a relief.
Definitely.
Hmm.
And as the source points out, GEO is rapidly becoming a specialized field of its own, with experts like Scopic Studio stepping in to help businesses execute these highly technical optimization strategies.
Wow, we have covered a massive amount of ground today. The era of simply counting traditional backlinks and high-fiving over a Google Page One ranking is definitively over.
Long gone.
To survive this shift, you have to understand the five new metrics of AI visibility, from your share of voice to your underlying sentiment. You have to wrangle the four core platforms, remembering our four distinct researcher personalities and the unique data they value.
Yep.
You have to expose your own blind spots by heavily testing unbranded queries. And finally, you have to take control of your own brand narrative by feeding the AI the authoritative human-verified signals it craves. It is a whole new world, but now you have the map to navigate it.
You have the map, but, you know, the territory is still shifting.
How so?
There is a fascinating unmentioned puzzle that this entire methodology hints at.
Ooh, tell me.
The core strategy for fixing AI inaccuracies relies heavily on feeding better authoritative signals to the places the AI scrapes the hardest places built on human consensus, like Reddit, community forums, and review sites. But think about the natural endpoint of that strategy. If every single business in the world realizes this and starts hyper-optimizing their Reddit posts, manipulating community forums, and engineering their website schemas strictly to feed the AI chatbots.
Oh, wow.
How long is it until the AI platforms realize the well has been poisoned? Will they eventually stop trusting those community sources altogether because they've been overwhelmed by corporate optimization?
That's a scary thought.
As we optimize for the machine, will we eventually need an entirely new cryptographically verifiable way to prove authenticity and human truth on the internet?
That is a profound question. If the most trusted person in town giving all the recommendations suddenly realizes that everyone is just slipping them $20 bills to say nice things, the entire ecosystem breaks down.
Exactly.
Where does the AI go for truth when all the human spaces have been optimized? We highly encourage you to ponder that exact question as you start pulling together your spreadsheets and setting up your very first visibility audit this week. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive, and we will see you next time.